Well, come on down.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning? It is a little chair, yes. You're super fast? Yes, I saw you. You were super fast yesterday up here riding that bicycle, weren't you? All right. Well, good. I'm glad to see. I was here. You remember I saw you riding your bicycle with your friends? Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see y'all today. I know. Are you? So I have a question. Who likes to have a snack?
Jello.
Jello. Okay. So we have all kinds of things for snacks, right? So one day if you wanted a snack and you looked in the cookie jar and it was empty. And then you looked, maybe you don't have a cookie jar. Maybe you looked in the cabinet and there was no cookies. Oh no, there was no like treats. There wasn't anything. And then you looked in the freezer and you think maybe there'll be some ice cream. And there wasn't any ice cream.
I had some milk.
You had some milk? Well, that's a pretty good snack. But then you look in the cabinet and you find a box that says Jell-O Instant Pudding. Ooh, do you like pudding? No, you don't like pudding? You like chocolate pudding?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is instant pudding. Do you know how to make instant pudding?
No.
No? Okay, I'm going to read you the directions, okay? All right, let me find the direction. It says 5 minutes you can have pudding. Oh, hey. You need 2 cups of cold milk. You pour the pudding in there. You mix the milk. You whisk it together. And you have pudding. Mm. Is that pretty simple to do?
Yeah,
would you like that? So you could actually have this for a snack as long as you had the milk to make it, right?
The
instructions would just.
You have to have a certain milk.
No, you can use any kind of milk. Yeah.
I thought heavy
buttermilk. Well, I wouldn't use buttermilk. Do you drink buttermilk? Okay, so the directions are really simple, and that's what I want to focus on. The directions are so simple, and you can have a delicious snack just by following those simple directions. So I think I could even I could do this one because I don't cook a whole lot, so I think I can make this. So yeah, so well, you know, things in life are sometimes can be pretty simple, but some things in life can be pretty hard, right? Your mom cooks a lot of things. Okay. But everything that we do, we have to follow directions. Do you always follow the directions? No? Well, it wouldn't be very good if you didn't follow the directions. Well, in the Bible, it tells us about a man named Naaman who was told to go do something very, very simple. But you know what? He didn't want to follow the rules. He didn't want to follow the directions. He thought the directions should be really hard.
Why hard?
Because he had something really wrong with him, and he thought they'd have to be really hard. He'd have to do this step and this step and this step and this step. But God had just said, do one simple thing. So Naaman was a commander in the army. He was strong, and he was wise, and he was famous. But he had a problem. He had a very serious problem. He had a disease called leprosy. Do you know what leprosy is?
No.
Leprosy is when you have all these sores all over you and it hurts, and they couldn't treat it. They didn't know how to treat it. So one of his servants said, Naaman, you need to go see the prophet of God, Elijah. So Naaman went to see Elijah. So he got to Elijah's house, and do you know what he did? He just sat out front. Elijah didn't even come out to the house and tell him what to do. Elijah sent somebody else. He said, go tell Naaman what to do. And you know what this messenger said for Naaman to do? He said, go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times in the water and you'll be healed. Was that a simple rule? Was that a simple directions?
Yeah.
Well, Naaman said, No, I'm not going to do that. I need to be harder. I need to be lots more things for me to do for me to be healed. But one of his men said, Naaman, I think you need to follow those simple directions. So guess what Naaman did? He followed the directions. He went down to the Jordan River and he dipped how many times?
Seven times.
And guess what happened to Naaman?
He fixed his problem.
He was healed. God healed him. Those were such simple things for him to do. He just had to dip seven times, but he didn't want to follow God's rules and directions. Do we follow God's rules and directions? Do we have problems sometimes in life? Yeah. Do sometimes we think we can do it ourselves without God? Should we do it without God? No, that's right. So we need to follow God's directions and rules. Do you know where we find God's directions?
Yeah.
Where?
In the church.
In the church? That's right. We find them in the Bible. All of this tells us how to solve all of our problems, and it gives us directions on everything in life. Now, do we read the whole thing every single day? No, but we read a little bit every day, and maybe we memorize scriptures, and we remember God's truth. When we have a problem, we can say, okay, God, help me follow your directions, okay? And so it's important that we follow God's directions. Is he going to always give us good directions? Yes, he's going to give us good directions. He's not going to tell us to do things the hard way, maybe. Some of it's going to be hard, but he's not going to give us wrong directions, is he? That's right. It says in Psalms 32:8, it says, I will show you and teach you the way you should go. I will tell you what to do with my eye upon you. God is watching us, and he gives us all the directions. So when he says, if he told you to go dip seven times in the water, would you go dip seven times in the water? Yeah, just like making this pudding. It was pretty easy. God gives us directions, and we can follow those directions. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Just bless our time and just watch over us. And I pray that as we go through every day, Lord, that we can follow your directions and that you will lead us in the right path, Lord Jesus, and you will just help us with everything that's going on in our world, Lord. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. Oh, you got your sticker? Okay. All right. You ready?
Good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning? Doing well. Good to see you. Good to have those join us online. If you would register your attendance with us through the app, that would be helpful. If you do not have the Wiley Methodist app, you can go to your app store and do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene and get a hit on that. We communicate a lot through email and through our app, so that would help people stay connected. A couple things coming up I need to remind you about. Our Wednesday nights, we'll be back this Wednesday night. We'll have four other Wednesday nights, and then we'll have a bingo night on the 21st, I believe, the third Wednesday night of April. It's going to be a little different than it's been in the past, and so that'll be lots of fun. I want to remind you of the Social Media Identity and Culture Seminar next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. in the youth room. Stephen Gehrig, who's a friend of Brent Aikens, will be leading that. That's open to everyone. Palm Sunday on the 28th, there are two services. We'll have one at 8:30, one at 10:30. The annual Easter egg dash, it's not a hunt, it's a dash. If you've never seen our Easter egg hunt, it's amazing. It takes about 16 seconds and it's over. That'll take place at 10 a.m. We will have no meal this year on Palm Sunday. We'll shoot for that next year if Jesus tarries. And then Easter Sunday, we'll have two services as well at 8:30 and 10:30 with a 9:30 brunch in between that. That's April the 4th. So those are things that are coming up. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you that word in the creed, Catholic, small c, means universal. So as we pray this morning, I want to pray. I got several points here that I'd like to pray through, and just join me as I do that. It's okay for you not to listen to me pray. I'd encourage you to engage with the Lord as we do that. And I'll kind of lead us through this prayer time. So pray with me. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord for his goodness. And as I pray, go ahead and pray as well. Father, we thank you that you're good. And Lord, I think back over this last year, the difficulty, the trials. There's never been a second over this last year that you have not been good. And Lord, all things work together for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So Lord, you're always at work in the background. You're doing good stuff. And so, Father, help us to embrace your goodness, even though goodness looks like difficulty. We thank you that you're good. And now let's pray for his bride, the church. Lord, as we pray for your bride, Jesus, as we pray for your bride, I pray that you help us become all that you want us to be. You're preparing for yourself a radiant bride without spot or blemish. And Lord, it doesn't really matter where we're at in our life. If we're engaged to you, then you're at work in our lives. And Father, we may not feel worthy of that, but God, I just pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you move in our hearts, you move in our minds to where we'll embrace who we are in Christ. And Jesus, you are a faithful groom. You will not break off this engagement. There's a wedding date that's set. You will be there and we will be there. Lord, just help us to submit to what you're doing in our lives, doing in the life of the church. And now let's pray that the Holy Spirit will have his way in his bride. And Lord, as we pray, continue to pray for your bride, I pray that we will allow the Holy Spirit to be all that he wants us to be. Lord, help us trust in his wisdom more than our own wisdom. Lord, I just pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us not to fear that. Help us to embrace what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And forgive us, Holy Spirit, for grieving you. Forgive us for ignoring you. Forgive us for our lack of submission to you and the Father's will. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Have your way in your bride. Now let's pray for the sick, that they'll experience healing and peace. And Father, there's a number of in our body that are struggling with illness. And Jesus, you are the healer. And sometimes you do that supernaturally. Sometimes you use the medical community to do that. But we ask for radical healing to take place in bodies. And Lord, I just lift up several we've been praying for. Christy Hooper and Dean Higginbotham. Braden Deaton, Nancy Birch. Jennifer Bodine. Mike Trantham, Marv Gregory, Stephanie Bates. Miller Loudermilk and her mother, Ed Everhart, Terry Balderas, Krista Bunger, Ken Keefe, and Connie Hudgens. Lord, would you move in their bodies? Would you bring healing? Jesus, your name is bigger than cancer. Lord, your name is bigger than COVID. Would you do a mighty work in people's bodies? And I pray for peace for those people as well. And Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in our congregation, Lord, the Joyce Collins family, her sister losing her husband, John Johnson losing Claire, and Betty Speck's family losing Betty, Cindy McCarn's father passing away, and the family of Don Aiken, Lord, I pray you bring peace in the hearts of those family members. Lord, just do a work there. Now, church, let's pray for the lost. They'll come to know Jesus. And, Father, we pray for those that don't know you. Lord, we were there at one point. And people were praying for us. How could we not return that favor? I thank you for salvation that's in Christ alone. And, Lord, there's people all around us that don't know you. So, Lord, I pray that they come to know you. And more times than not, you're going to use your church to accomplish that purpose. So give us boldness like we've never had before. Lord, I pray that our hearts break for those that don't know you. Help us not to even have the ability to walk by someone that doesn't know you without grieving for that person. We need your heart for the lost. And Lord, we ask you to bring that about in Jesus' name. Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunities to pray. Jesus, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. Continue to worship. You can bring an offering this morning if you have one, or you can give online. Thank you so much, church, for your faithfulness. Thank you.
Have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Sing it to him. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Good morning again. Glad that you are with us. Each week seem to have a few folks that are kind of that have been staying away for a while, kind of trickling back. That's great to see. Welcome to each of you. If you are our guest, we're especially glad that you are with us today. Hope that you feel the love of Christ and the love of His people. If you are our guest, would love for you to register. We have a Wiley Methodist app. You can go on and register your attendance with us. We'd love to know that you were here. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet the guests and get to know you just a little bit. Richardson family, y'all, I don't know if y'all remember, the Richardson family moved 3 years, right in 3 years ago, and came back in yesterday. We had Bryson and Braxton. I baptized them yesterday. Woohoo! And Braxton, you didn't wear your New York Giant jersey today, I see. He caught a little grief over that yesterday. But it's good to have the Richardsons back with us. But you're not moving back. You're just here visiting, so that's pretty cool to drive 5 hours to baptize your kids, huh? Yeah. And I think that can be said that you should pat yourself on the back, the impact that this church had on the Richardson family. So we are blessed that you guys are here. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Moving to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are invited. We know that you are here with us. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If any of you keep notes from prior sermons, but by the way, I read this. I've been wondering. Did you know the best way to stay awake during a sermon? Give the sermon. To my knowledge, I've never fallen asleep during one of my sermons. Can't say that for everyone, but anyway. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from, but I was revisiting a sermon from a year or so ago. So if you've got some notes from prior sermons, you may see some of this, but it seemed to fit this message that I'm wrapping up this series, Let the Church Arise. Let the Church Arise. Today's message is Commanded to Love. I'm not addicted to the series Toy Story, but I find that is a really interesting movie series that they're doing. And y'all know the characters if you've ever seen that. You've got Woody, there's the little cowboy that's the toy, and then Buzz Lightyear is the new toy, and then Andy is the little boy that plays with all these toys. And by the way, they're going to have to change that because now Mr. Potato Head is obsolete, by the way. That's another story. But I love the scene where, Andy is jealous of Buzz, and he's trying to convince him, you're just a toy. You're not this super ranger, from outer space or whatever. And of course, Buzz is, thinks that he is. And then finally he understands, he begins to get kind of down on himself and realize, I'm just a silly toy. But then Woody gets, he begins to feel sorry for Buzz, and so he's trying to encourage him, and he begins to tell him, no, you're special. And he said, look at the bottom of your shoe. He looks at the bottom of his shoe, and he has Andy's name on the bottom of his shoe. You remember that scene? And he said, you're special because Andy loves you. Did you know that we are special because God loves us? As I have been working through this series, the question that originated this series in my mind, in my heart, was what does the church have that the world needs? And we've talked about several things. Jesus, the world needs Jesus. The world needs the truth of God's word. The world needs authentic Christians that walk out their faith. And last week we talked about that the world needs servants, the church to be servants. And today, what does the world need? It needs love, real, authentic love, not superficial, fake love that our world seems to be selling to us. So this passage that we read today, there are 7 verses that I read, 15 times in the 7 verses, 15 times, this word agape is used. We translate that into English as love, but in the Greek form of love, and y'all have heard this before, there's different ways to describe love in the Greek. You have the friendship love, you have parent-child love, you have the intimate love, you have hospitality, and you have self-love, and then you have this word, agape, which is a selfless love. Did you know that each time that this word love is translated in these 7 verses, all 15 times it uses that word agape. So when it says that we are to love one another, he's saying that we are to agape one another, which is a selfless, without counting for anything in return, this selfless love. So I think we need to just kind of dig in a little bit deeper to discover a little more about what is God commanding us to do. That's interesting, that word commanded. We're gonna get into that just a little bit more. First point I want to make: God loves you. Now that may seem like, you know, man, I mean, okay, duh. But unless we understand how God feels about us, we can't love others unless we understand that. Listen to this. Dear friends, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God because God is love. Jesus tells a story of, actually, it's recorded in Luke. Jesus is at a Pharisee's home, and he's sitting around with these Pharisees who kind of have this holier-than-thou kind of a attitude. And this sinful woman walks in, and she begins to, she's weeping because she's in the presence of Jesus. She begins, her tears wet his feet, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears and her hair. And then she begins to put this perfume on his feet. And, of course, the Pharisees began to rebuke him. If you knew what this woman had done, if you knew who this was, you surely would not be letting her wash your feet. And here's what Jesus, that it's found in Luke chapter 7. You can go read the whole story. But here's what he says that I find interesting. Jesus says, he who has been forgiven little loves little. This woman understood that she was a sinful person and that her hope lied in this Messiah, this Jesus. He who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, I'm just telling you, if you think you've got your act together, you've always had your act together, it's going to be a little hard for you to receive the love and the mercy and the grace from God. I've had people over the years telling, like, man, why are we praying this prayer of repentance and confession? I'm a good person. Like, well, okay. I believe the Word tells us, and my experience tells us, that we're all broken. We're all sinners. I want to talk just a second about John and Charles Wesley. Their story briefly. I find it so interesting. These two men were raised, their father was a pastor. They were in England, and their mother was this very, very devout Christian lady that taught them all these disciplines of the faith, to be in prayer so many hours a day and to read scripture so many hours a day. And I've told you all this before, but I love this story. Susanna Wesley, she had, I think it was like 11 kids or something. There was kids running all over the place. And she would get her apron at a certain time of the day. She would sit in the kitchen and get her apron, and she'd put it up over her head. And the kids knew, don't mess with mama when she's got the apron over her head because she's praying. And I love that story. But that's the type of mom they were raised with. And they became these devout followers of Christ, and they were visiting people in prison and feeding the hungry, and they came to America thinking they were going to, you know, save all the Native Americans, and everything was going to be great, and they left America in shame and in defeat, and they were just trying, they were working through their faith with works, with service. And here's what happened on Charles, on May the 21st, 1738, he was 30 years old. And remember, they'd been doing all sorts of ministry, and he goes, he has an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he says, here's what he wrote in his journal. He said, the Spirit of God chased away the darkness of my unbelief. This is a man, 30 years old. He'd been doing God's business, doing all these wonderful things, not very successfully, I might add. But he wasn't even certain of his own salvation. And then 3 days later, John, who was his elder, 34 years old, May the 24th, 1738, here's what John recorded in his journal. And again, neither one of these guys had been assured of their own salvation. He says this, "In the evening, I went very unwillingly." Has anybody ever come to church very unwillingly? Is this on? I mean, a lot of times, let me tell you something now, when God may have something special in store for you, guess who doesn't want you to encounter God? The enemy. So he may like, "Oh man, you're tired. I really love to sleep in. It's been a rough week. It's like, man, the ball game starts at noon. I don't want to miss a kickoff," whatever it might be. And we miss, and John Wesley's been pretty honest. "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street," which is basically a Bible study, "where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans." And he's recording this about a quarter to nine, so 8:45 in the evening, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." What was that? Was that the Holy Spirit, perhaps? "I felt I did trust." This is a man 34 years old. He's been raised by this pastor and this devout Christian lady. He's doing all this stuff for God. "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." So, John Wesley and Charles, for that matter, their attempts to serve God were really failing. I mean, they just weren't going anywhere. Nothing was happening. And they weren't even assured of their own salvation, and they're trying to share Christ with people. Until their conversions, they were both ordained. They both preached, taught, wrote, composed hymns, and even gave themselves to missionary work, all to no avail. They had not Christ. Or rather, Christ did not have them. They lived by good works and not by faith. Something changed when his heart was strangely warm. It was the Holy Spirit conveying to him, "I love you. I've purchased eternal life for you." And suddenly, Charles and John Wesley's ministry exploded. Why? Because they had the love of Christ in themselves, so they could share it. It wasn't just words on a page, and it wasn't just these discipline. Discipline is great. It's great to be in the Word. It's great to pray regularly. All those things are great. But if that's all we got nothing. If we don't understand how God feels about us, and if we don't understand that He has called us to share that with others, we got nothing. We got a lot of stuff up here, perhaps not much going on down here. We have to understand that God loves you. Secondly, the cross proves it. The cross proves it. Verse 9 of our passage today. This is how God showed his love. He showed it. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Y'all have heard my story before, and I won't go through all that again, but I'll just basically the recap it. You know, I'd been in church all my life and seen my mom and dad raise me the right way, and yet here I found myself 31 years old, and I didn't know how God felt about me. I didn't know he loved me. I didn't know he died for me. I mean, it had been presented to me so many different ways and for so many times, but I didn't get it. The cross proves God's love for us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates, there it is again, that's active love. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it doesn't say, all you good folks, y'all come on down. You're going to be saved. No, while we were yet sinners, he didn't die for us at our best. He died for us at our worst. Isaiah says it this way, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. They're meaningless. Now, it doesn't mean I don't want to be confusing. It's like, hey, you just get saved and then you just kick back and you know, get on cruise control. No, our righteous acts are a testimony to our faith. They're a testimony to it, but they don't save us. They don't save us. The cross proves God's love for us. And man, if you don't, I really encourage you, if you don't get that, you don't understand that, please don't leave this place without talking to me. So we have to understand God loves us. The cross proves it. And then number three here, we are commanded to love like Christ. We are commanded. It's not a suggestion. I don't know if many of y'all remember Lou McCleskey. She sat right here on the front. And Lou passed away a few years ago. And when I got here, I don't know, Lou was probably pushing 80 when I got here 20 years ago. I mean, she's been gone for a few years. But Lou would talk to me during the sermon. I liked that. She'd ask questions or say something to me. But I remember she gave me this little thing that she needle pointed or whatever kind of deal she did. But it says, they're not the 10 suggestions. I still have it in my office. They're not the 10 suggestions. We're commanded. Listen to these passages. We know this is the great commandment. We don't think about that we're being commanded this. But teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What's the purpose statement of our church? Come on. Well, that was weak. That was really weak. But I think a few of you had it. Love God, love people, offer Christ. When everything we do should fit under one of those things. All the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. So Jesus is confirming the great commandment. And then he says again in John 15, he says, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, he humbled himself before us. He should have been having us praise and adore him, but instead, our sin nailed him to a cross. That's how he loved us. He gave himself up for us. And Jesus is saying, my command, love people like that. Now, I don't think any of us are going to have to be crucified over it, but I mean, he's saying sacrificially, not self-serving, but selfless, sacrificially love. And that's a challenge, church. I don't know maybe it's not for you, it is for me. It's a challenge because guess what? He's not just saying love those that love you back. He said love our enemies. Let us love one another. We love because he first loved us. He has given us this. Here it is again. He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That idea of agape, selfless love, expecting nothing in return. How do we do that? I've confessed this before, and I'll confess it again. Man, it's getting hard. I mean, it's getting hard. This is hard stuff for me. When I see, man, just. I'm not even going to go with some of the stuff I've taken since November. I have not been watching the news, and I haven't, but I still read and I still see things, and it's like, just some of the stuff that's going on in our world, and some of the just crazy stuff. And it's like, man, I have to ask the Lord just to maybe there's appropriate times for righteous anger to well up in us, but love wins the day. And I shared this when a similar sermon a year or so ago. A good friend of several of us here in the church, Jay Miller, told me this about a year ago on a pastor's Zoom call. But he said the statement, "Love is our weapon." And not long after that, I preached a sermon to that effect. But love is our weapon against evil and hate and sin. And I mean, we love people into the kingdom, and we don't argue people into the kingdom. Debate people into the kingdom, get angry. Man, if we want to truly draw people to Christ, even those who are offensive to us and their ideas and things are offensive to us, God is calling us to love as He loves. How do we do that? Well, I believe it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the bottom line. In Galatians 5, we see the fruit of the Spirit. So I want you to think about this for a second. So the fruit of the Spirit, and right before this, he talks about the things of the flesh. And he gives a big, long outline of the things of the flesh. And then he goes on and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there's this different fruit that comes from being filled with God's Spirit. So I don't know about you, but I think we need more of Holy Spirit. We need more of the Holy Spirit to empower us to love the way Christ loves. Because we're commanded to love. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that'd be really neat if you might think about doing that. No, Jesus commands us to love our brothers the way Christ loves us. Man, I just feel like that we need to, I'm closing. I want to ask you, if you just bow your heads, I want to ask you to, in your own heart, let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His fruit. The very first fruit on the list is love. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with that love, even for those that don't love you back. Father, your word tells us, gives us a description of what this love looks like. That it's patient and it's kind and it doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud. It's not rude, it's not self-seeking. This love that comes from you, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Your love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Your love never fails. Give us that kind of love, oh God. The church has it, and the world needs it. May we love as you have loved and as you have taught us to love. We praise you, we adore you, and we surrender our lives to you. Help us be light and salt to a dark and hurting world. that needs what you have, needs you, Jesus. We are your ambassadors. We're your servants. We're your vessels. May we love well. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. As we close, just a reminder, I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet our guests. Have a free gift for you out there if you're our guest. And also, as I said earlier, man, don't leave this place if you don't know that God of love, because I guarantee you, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you are, He loves you. He loves you. Let's rise if you're able as we close.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Tell someone. God bless you.
Your goodness is running after me.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.